Let's stand together. I want to talk about new attitudes for a new year. Now, we've come out of a crazy year and a half, almost 2 years pretty soon. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never been on a roller coaster ride like this one. And I've enjoyed some really great ones, but this one has been, whoa, almost every day, sometimes several times a day. Information hits us that I've never heard the likes of before. And so it's very easy, if you're not careful, because we've watched this happen, for people to get angry, for people to get frustrated, for people to take out their frustrations. You see them doing that on the road. I don't know about you, but people just love to cut you off, you know, and think it's cool to just be risky like that and do stupid stuff. So I want us to follow the patterns of Jesus' teaching and the attitudes we have as we end this year and get ready for the new year. We need to follow what he told us as the prescription. We want to talk about Christmas, yes. We want to celebrate, absolutely. We want to pull out all the stops, yes. But we have to remember, this has got to be lived out in shoe leather every single day, right? It's not just about lights and cradles and all that good stuff. It's about living this out. So here's what he said. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed and enviably happy, with happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. This is the teaching of Jesus about those who follow him, right? Blessed, happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed, happy, eminently fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of their outward conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. Think about it. He's contrasting how we're to live out our lives with the craziness going around us, right? Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate and spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are you when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Be glad and supremely joyful, for your reward in heaven is great, strong, and intense, for in this same way people persecuted the prophets who were before you. So join ranks with Jesus here today. Amen. Father, we need you now more than at any other time, because weapons have been formed against your church, but they're not going to prosper. And thank you, you love us more than the devil hates us. Hallelujah. And may attitudes be changed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaking the bread of life to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Anybody want to live happy? Amen. Jesus gave you the answers to this question here. Everybody wants some happiness. But you can't be happy if you have an improper attitude or a bad attitude or a negative attitude. No happiness is the result. So Jesus is saying, blessed are those who follow the prescription of having right attitudes. It's easy to get our attitude in the wrong direction when crazy stuff is happening, and you know it's not righteous, and you know it's a lie, and you know it's a falsehood. It's very simple to easily get antagonized by that kind of thing going on, where in the same day, the same people tell you two different stories on any given subject, and they're totally contradictory. And is it not frustrating to you? It is to me, right? Jesus is saying there are positive attitudes, and he's challenging his followers to change our attitude. So Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, you're going to be happy and blessed if you put on these right attitudes. Even though you don't feel like doing some things, you still slip on the right attitude. It's an attitude that you put on like a garment. Some people think, well, you know, if I had a better car, then I would be happy. If I had a better house, I would be happy. If I had more money, then I would be happy. You know, if I were married, then I would be happy. You think if you could find someone else to be married to other than the one you're with, then you'd be happy. You think if you find true love, you'll be happy. None of these things guarantees happiness. In fact, as you gather more and more things in life, they create more demands in your life. So when you get the bigger house, you've got a bigger house payment. A bigger house, more house to keep clean. Come on now. Money and things don't bring lasting happiness. And there's those with money have more problems than those that have average incomes. And it's easy when people are making lots of money to become isolated and workaholics and get so driven by the need for more, they lose contact with the realities around them. And so you have that in government today, especially among those who've been in government way too long. It's time for term limits on people who are elected. And the people that they bring into office with them need to go away with them. So a new administration can clearly get done what needs to get done. So people are afraid of losing power and losing money, and the corruption levels escalate beyond description to what they'll do to keep their power and their money. And then they become suspicious of everyone else around them and accuse everybody else of the very thing they're doing themselves. So first of all, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are the humble people. Now, what does that mean? Well, they've come to a very wise conclusion. I can't make it without his help. Arrogant people think they can do anything. They don't think they need God. They think they can handle anything by themselves. They think they can, you know, having fallen down, just pick themselves back up and move right on without even missing a beat. How many know God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble? The word says pride goes before destruction. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not blessed are the arrogant and boastful people, well, because they don't have any friends. How many know you can't make it by yourself? Amen? I don't care how strong you think you are. Not blessed are those who are full of pride, because failure will catch up with them. Not blessed are those who won't humble themselves, because they always are looking for someone else to blame for the problems that they've created in their own lives. Are you listening? Amen. Amen? If you'll be happy in this life, you have to learn how to humble yourself. To be happy in life, find the weak areas you have and be honest about them, because everybody comes into the world with weaknesses. Learn to identify those weak areas you have and learn to lean on the Lord and trust him with all your heart. Happiness will come once you learn to humble yourself and admit your humanity. No matter who you are, everyone is poor in some area. Poverty doesn't just deal with our finances. You can be poor in your marriage. You can be poor in your health. You can be poor in relationships. To be happy, learn to humble yourself and ask God for help where you have poverty. That weak area is that place where you've struggled for year after year after year. If you want to know where you are poor in spirit, it's a matter that you wrestle with on a regular basis. That tells you where you have weakness. Many times for the single person, it's year after year struggling alone. Some people never have a problem earning money, but they can't get along in a marriage, and they just keep blowing through one after another. There's an area in everyone's life where we are poor in spirit. And to be happy, we have to learn how to say, Lord, I'm poor in this area of my life, and I don't want to struggle with this any longer. I need your help. Strengthen me, heal me where I need the help. So what's your struggle today as you end this last year? Blessed are those who realize they are poor and recognize only God can help them, and they humble themselves and say, Father, would you help me here? The worst thing you do is be defensive and act like you've got it all together. But to say, okay, God, I need help because I am weak and you are strong. Amen? There's a part of everyone afraid to admit weakness, fearful you're going to look bad, afraid you might get rejected. But when you swallow your pride and humble yourself, he will raise us up. Amen? Amen? Happiness comes when you can admit you have a need and that you're poor in spirit. And everything begins to shift in the right direction when you're humbled before the Lord. When you say, Lord, I have a problem, I need help, he's going to rush to your side to help you. That's the kind of Father I serve. But as long as you act like you're okay, then you're in this all by yourself. And the struggle will continue. Maybe you have an addictive behavior pattern. You have to say, Lord, I need to get this out of my life. This chain needs to break. You may be a student and you're struggling in school. Rather than humbling yourself and saying, hey, Lord, I need some help, or I need to get some tutoring, or I need to get some after-class assistance because I'm not quite getting there, well, instead of acting like it's just okay the way it is, why don't you ask for someone to come alongside? Otherwise, you're going to flounder and fail until you humble yourself and say, God, I need your help. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not too proud to admit you need some help in any given area, then God's success will come your way. I know about you, I want God's success. Happiness can come to you when you say, Lord, I'm humbled before you and needy in your sight. So many people are playing games and putting masks on and pretending to be okay. But I tell you what, this whole pandemic has certainly pulled the masks off pretty readily, hasn't it? And we begin to discover who's got it and who doesn't. As long as you put on a front, you're never going to get the help that you need. The moment you admit, I'm poor in spirit, God will move in to help you. How many know some people don't want to be told what to do? None of them are in the room today. Most of us immediately resist that when someone tries to tell us what to do, because we've been raised to be independent Americans, right? Or Americans. But before I'm an American, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there's chain of command. And in the chain of command, there's always going to be somebody who's going to tell you what to do. And our responsibility as citizens of heaven in the chain of command is to yield and say, yes, sir, I'll do whatever it is you ask of me, because I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm following chain of command. Amen? Amen? Pride will be your destruction. It was early on for Lucifer. So many people play games and pretend. Listen, that pride will prevent you from receiving the help you need to get where God wants you to go. The moment you admit you're poor in spirit, God will send his help in your direction. And one of man's greatest problems is the issue of pride. It's when you know and admit you're in need, that's when God begins to heal us where we have wounds. Now, secondly, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How can you be blessed in the middle of loss? And you're grieving. Blessed are those who grieve, for they shall be comforted. Every time you have a loss, you grieve or mourn because of that loss in your life. But when you love the Lord, you are grieving and you are mourning loss, but you can go to Him knowing, now I have a crutch I can lean on, and He will be there to get up under my load with me and carry me. He's the shoulder I can cry on. And no matter what you're going through in loss, He's closer than picking up your cell device, your smart device, and texting. He's as close as the mention of His name. And when you call on that name and ask Him for help, here's a brother who will stand with you, closer than your physical, biological brother, who will always be ready to assist you and come to your aid. There's a friend that's closer than a brother. And I'm grateful I get to serve and walk with Him every day. How about you? Amen? Amen. You may be grieving, yes, but He's the one who will be there to strengthen you. Some ask, well, why do bad things happen to such good people? Well, because we live on a broken planet under the curse. But Jesus came to redeem us from this curse. Bad things will happen as long as we have to live on this earth. When you get to heaven, it's going to be a totally different story. In the meantime, we have to cope with the bad stuff that happens in our lives. But Jesus came to turn that all around for good in us. If we learn to call on Him and learn to lean on Him and recognize He will stand there and get under the load that we're carrying so we don't carry it by ourselves. Jesus says it rains on the just and on the unjust. Some good things happen to sinners as well as happen to saints. Bad things happen to sinners as well as to saints. So in this world, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, Jesus said, but cheer up, baby, because He said, I've already got it taken care of in your life. I've already conquered it. You may be mourning that loss, but if you change your attitude and say, a change of attitude.
A change of attitude.
If you will change your attitude, God will comfort you in the time of trouble. Now, Jesus never promised us a rose garden life. Right? Pieces. Sometimes our lives feel like they've been fragmented into pieces. He never said, if you're a good person, you'll never have a problem. Religion will tell you, you know, if you check all the right boxes, you're going to escape all the problems. Now, I'm not talking about religion here today. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus the Christ. God never promised you a trouble-free life. But here's what He promised. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He does say you may be facing hard times, but I will be with you in the hard places as well as in the good places. He promises that when bad things happen to us, He'll be there as Lord to strengthen us and encourage us. He tells us He will comfort His people when bad stuff happens. And if you're going through some pain in life, don't blame God. God's not the problem. Can I be blunt about the problems we have? Let me tell you what the problem is. Sometimes it's you and me. Sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's human error, human will and human selfishness. And humans who feel they need to be in control of every part of their lives. And sometimes it's just plain out sin that creates our problems. You can blame sickness and disease on God, but sometimes sickness will strike, and it may be what man has been doing. Improper diet, not taking care of the temple God gave you. It can also come from generational curse, because when you refuse to obey God and you go off and you keep crossing the boundaries that God has set up, the Word says the devil will visit your kids to the third and fourth generations. And He'll make it worse for them than He made it for you. Say, don't blame God. No. Don't blame God for the suffering in this world. Suffering is the result of humans rejecting the truth of God's Word, trying to have it their way instead of His way. The result is People make bad decisions in their lives. Failures are the results of bad decisions. But failure is not the end for the child of God. In spite of failures, God can take the failure, turn it around, and give us success, bringing good into our lives out of our mistakes. David said, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So, you know, he could say that from years of experience, being chased down, hunted down, having a price tag on his head, looking to be killed, murdered. Yet he still declared, "Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life." Amen. Even when you're going, listen, if you look back on all the circumstances he faced that God delivered him from, and then look at your life, how many times you've called on the Lord and he's delivered you out of your circumstance, you can say the same thing. In spite of the trouble, God has provided goodness, amen, and mercy in my life. Even when you're in pain in your life, you can't seem to get that breakthrough that you've been praying about. You wonder, where is God? And why is this happening? Why am I enduring this? You may not see his goodness in the moment, but you will always experience his mercy because he's a merciful father. Life is filled with goodness. Sometimes it's filled with pain and heartache. Sometimes life is sweet. Sometimes it's a bitter moment. But God is always present in both ends of the spectrum. If it wasn't for his mercy, you might already be sleeping under a bridge somewhere today. Amen? If it wasn't for his mercy, you might be in your grave already today. If it wasn't for his mercy, you might be strung out on drugs someplace. Thank God for his mercy. Amen? Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Jesus said. When you lose a born-again loved one, there's comfort in knowing they are now in the presence of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let God comfort you when there's been grief and there's been loss, right? You grieve. And then you put things behind you so you move forward with your life. You remember when Moses died, all of Israel had mourned for him. And God allowed them to mourn for 30 consecutive days, 24/7. They were in a state of mourning over the loss of their spiritual leader. At the end of the 30 days, God said, "Okay, you have mourned his loss. Now you've got ahead of you to fulfill the promises I made to him and to his successor. So let's get up and let's go take what I promised you." Amen? There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And when you place it all in the hands of God, knowing he will comfort us when we go through times of trouble. Third, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some think that meek people are weak people. Some things it means that you allow people to just walk all over you and kick you to the curb. They think being meek means you're like a doormat. They can just wipe their shoes on you. You are not a doormat. I said you're not a doormat. You might try to treat someone like a doormat, but I know who I am in Christ. I hope you know who you are in Christ. And the Greek word meek means those who are emotionally stable, kind-hearted, and strong. So happy are those who are emotionally strong, for they shall inherit the earth. God, keep our emotions strong and healed. Amen? Happy are those who know they are in Christ. Now, you can call me or tell me that, you know, I don't like what this or I don't like that. I don't think you're that good. Or you can tell me I'm never going to make it, but I know in whom I have believed. He's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. He will meet my needs according to his riches in glory. Can anybody say amen here today? Amen? Because we know who we are. We are not grasshoppers, right? We're not grasshoppers. We belong to a royal priesthood. The strong person is not the one who quickly flies off the handle because they're hot-headed. The strong person is not the one who is abusive and rules over you. The strong person is the one who is in control because the Spirit of the Lord lives inside of them. And the fruit of self-control becomes evident in them. The strong person might feel like going off, but the strong person has such a relationship with the Holy Spirit, they're controlled from the inside out. Blessed are the emotionally stable, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who are gentle and in control, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are disciplined enough to remain under the control and guidance of the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord, right? Happy are those who have learned to keep their negative feelings in check and keep their mouths closed. Because if you can control this, you can control everything about your life. Read it in James, right? Happy are those who walk by faith and not by sight or by feelings. Feelings tell you one thing, God will probably tell you something else. Blessed are those who don't live by feelings because they know God's word and he's worked it all out anyways and will continue to work it out. Say, God is in control. Blessed are the emotionally stable who trust in the Lord, for they keep their eyes on the prize and they never quit. Blessed are those who have their strength in the Lord. Blessed are those who keep trusting in the Lord. They keep their focus on the goal. They don't allow the devil to steal their dreams. Blessed are those who are stable enough to be patient. Anybody ever struggle with that? I wasn't born patient, I can tell you that. No, most babies aren't. And some stay that way for the rest of their lives. I want it now. Give it to me now, right? And wait on the Lord, for he who does will inherit the earth. In due season, you'll reap your harvest as long as you keep planting seed and don't grow weary in praying over that seed and watering your seed. Blessed are those who trust and wait for the Lord. Too many Christians want everything right now. They want the house, and they want it now. Too many are not willing to wait for what the Lord has. They want it now. Give it to me today. There's planting. Yes, there's harvesting, and lots of time in between the two. So you make up your mind to get your seed in the ground and wait. Easier said than done. Because some things we would have liked to have happened a decade ago or earlier, but we continue to trust in the Lord to fulfill his promises in his time. If you don't grow weary and quit in the middle of your waiting, in due time, you will reap what you have planted. Amen? So you have to be patient in building relationships. You have to be patient in building a successful marriage. To build ministry, you have to be patient. You have to be patient if you're going to build a successful business. Say to somebody, you have to be patient. Right? If you want to know what meekness looks like, look at Jesus. He's under complete control of the Father's will, though being humiliated. He's under complete control in spite of being ridiculed and abused and tortured. The Son of God is being abused. He was the Lamb of God, God in the flesh, God who's come to save us from our sins. We've been celebrating it for weeks now to help me get my past behind me to overcome all the failures in life. And he came for the reason why. To look good on a Christmas Sunday? No. Or a Christmas service? He took my place. That's why he came. And I deserve to go to hell, but he took my place. He could have called 10,000 angels to come rescue him at any given command. But he was in complete control because he knew the Father's will. And he never lashed out, never struck back. He was meek, stable enough to know, and though the enemy is attacking me, crucifying me, he cannot win in the long run. I will resurrect and beat him at his own game. It was Friday, but he knew Sunday's coming. Amen. And he knew what was going to happen. I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that still speaks for me today on my behalf. I've got no standing before God unless I stand under the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the blood that came down off that cross out of his body that delivers anyone who reaches it. Amen? Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Happy are those who seek after God. When you seek after God, he's the one who will satisfy you, fill you up. How many know there's a part of us that's always searching for something? It's true for even believers. People think there's something missing. If you're not fulfilled in your life, you need to go back to your relationship with the Lord and say, Lord, I need you more now than ever. I need you to fill this area of my life. There are so many things in America trying to distract us and dissuade us from the Lord. How many know that's happening to us right now? Right? You see how the American culture has been trying to celebrate during the holidays. It's no surprise that we don't fit in. We don't get stoned. We don't get drunk. We don't party. We don't get high, because their way of celebrating holds no place for the follower of Jesus. And so we're social pariahs to some of those kind of people. But here's the word of the Lord in 1 Peter 4. We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil over you. And that's how we're categorized, because we won't join the culture in some of their activities and ways. We're not indulging in the bashes that they use to camouflage their emptiness and their spiritual void. You don't make salacious or edgy videos and post them on social media. That's not who we are. We don't conform, but here's who we are. By naming the name of Christ, we stand apart. We stand sometimes alone. You realize how embarrassing and foolish it looks for some of the believers, so-called, who try to blend their faith with worldly pleasures. But if we're feeling culturally ostracized, stick to your convictions and rejoice, because God promised us, and I'll show you what Jesus said about rejoicing in just a moment, even though we are targets of some in our culture today. There's nothing missing from us when we are fulfilled in the kingdom of the Lord. Amen? The spirit of this age will try to get you to compromise, to go after their own worldly pleasures and desires and selfishness. Sin will steal your happiness. Sin lasts for a season. Sin is fun for a season, but then the bottom falls out. Does anybody know what I'm preaching about in here today? There is a restlessness in all of us, and you think certain things or behaviors is going to fulfill it. You think substances can relieve it. God says nothing can satisfy you until you put me first and seek my kingdom first. Then everything you need will be added to you. You can feel frustrated from time to time, even as a believer. You feel you're missing something emotionally in life or dissatisfied. Happy are those who hunger after God, for they shall be filled. And you know the things of this world cannot fulfill you. No amount of money is going to fill you up. No amount of drugs can satisfy you. No amount of power or fame will ever satisfy you, because these people never stop. They are driven by those lusts and desires. Don't seek after things. Seek after God. And don't keep missing church on Wednesday night when we have service. You need to be here to be taught the word of the living God. Seek after God. Be in service every opportunity you have. It's not the same at home. Watching live stream is not the same as being present. Now, I've had people tell us, more than one, numerous people, well, even though we're not there, we're with you every Sunday watching. Said, yeah, but I'm not seeing you. You see me, but I don't see you. And we're not our best unless we see each other and are with each other, right? So we need to be together, come together where the Spirit of the Lord is moving, where he can touch us collectively as well as individually. You can seek after all that stuff. None of it's going to fill you up. Seek him if you want to be filled with life overflowing. If you're not satisfied, ask yourself, am I hungering after the things of God or the things of this culture? Am I thirsting after righteousness or the stuff going on around me in the culture? Number five, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. These are attitudes we need to put on as we end this year and enter a new one, because we pulled some baggage with us through the course of this last year. I'm ready to offload it, and I'm ready to put on the new man in Christ. Amen? Amen. There is a law in God's kingdom that says, whatever I give out, I'm going to get back. Whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. And if you don't understand this principle, you're going to live a miserable life, because serving Jesus is all about giving, giving, giving. Then God makes it all up to us. You can never truly be happy in this life unless you're sowing mercy and forgiveness toward others. Whatever you give out is what you're going to get back. Does anybody here need mercy? Does anybody here need forgiveness, right? If you're not, listen, if you're not getting back mercy and forgiveness, how in the world can you live a happy life? You'll have to forgive others that times you don't feel they deserve to be forgiven, right? I mean, they did the wrong thing. They don't deserve to be forgiven. So you have to forgive them. And you go, but then you remind yourself, I didn't deserve to be forgiven either. Who am I, having been forgiven, to say, I won't forgive you? You'll have to keep that unruly asp of a tongue inside your mouth when you start feel like it's okay to gossip and cut somebody to shreds, because whatever you give out is what you're going to get back. And if you're unhappy, it's because the seed you're sowing is the wrong kind of seed. If you're judgmental, that kind of stuff's going to come back on you. Whatever you give out, if you give out encouragement and love and you're generous, it comes back to you. It always seems to work that way by the law of God's kingdom. When you're critical and negative, it comes back to you. If you're a gossip, it'll come back at you. If you're always angry, it's going to strike at you. If you're merciful and forgiving, that'll come back to you. You can't be happy in this life unless you learn to sow mercy into those that don't deserve it and forgiveness for those who have not earned it. Happy are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You recall the singer, I think he still performs in Branson periodically, now a born-again believer, Tony Orlando. You remember Tony Orlando? Yeah. He recorded a hit a number of years ago. Every now and then you'll still hear it being played. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, right? He's even changed the word in it that was kind of a slangy cuss word into a biblical word now, because his heart is different. It's a ballad of a man who'd been in prison. He deserved the punishment, and he didn't want his wife to have to pay the price for his failure, so he told her, don't write to me. Don't communicate. Just get on with your life, because you don't deserve what's happened to you because of my choices. Years passed, and finally, he was released from prison. He had not communicated with his wife for all those years, but in advance of the day he was to leave, he wrote her a letter and he said, if you haven't remarried, and if there's still a chance you would take me back, tie a yellow ribbon around that old oak tree out in front of our house, and I'll know I'm still wanted. If there's no ribbon there, I'll just keep on going and won't interrupt you. So he boards the bus bound for his hometown, and he's wondering what's going to look like when he arrives in front of his house, right? He looks out the window with great anticipation, and he looked for that old oak tree standing in front yard. And not only was there a yellow ribbon around that old oak tree, but dozens of ribbons tied everywhere among the neighbors' homes and trees up and down the street on which he lived. It was a story of forgiveness and mercy. You remember the story of the prodigal son who wasted his inheritance, lived riotously, landed in a pig pen. But while there, he came to his senses. So I'm saying to you, if you're in the pig pen of life today, come to your senses. God will be there to help you. The prodigal came to his senses and decided, I'm going home. He's walking down that long, dusty road, contemplating, how am I going to be received? You know, I did my family wrong. But his father saw him coming and ran out after him with arms wide open, welcomed him home. That's a story of mercy, a story that reveals the heart of our Heavenly Father. And we should rejoice over that today, because that's every single one of us. Tell somebody, God's not mad at you. If you're to live a happy life, you're going to have to give mercy, or you're never going to receive mercy. Forgive others, or you will not be forgiven yourself. And you'll not live a life of happiness if you're murmuring and backbiting and critical and full of resentment. And that's allowed to go on and on and on. It builds a reservoir of negativity in your spirit that needs to get washed out when we end this year and start a new one. Amen? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And whatever you give out is what you're going to get back. And if I don't like my harvest, I need to start changing what I'm sowing. Change the attitude toward others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Number six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's really about a heart with pure motives. God's looking at our hearts continuously. Man, I wish we'd become a lot more conscious of the Holy Spirit around us all the time, because he's examining our hearts constantly. We used to sing it years ago, how about your heart? Out of the issues, that's where all the issues of life flow out of, our heart, right? A heart monitor. That's who I have around me now. Men will lie to a woman to get her to believe he's the right one. I've watched it. Many will lie to get what they want. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's about purity in my motives. Why do you want what you do, and why do you think you need it to serve the Lord? Do you do it to be seen? Do you do it because you love the Lord? Does it do it because you want to serve him? God's looking for you to be honest with him and pure of heart. Quit trying to act like you're all of that and you got it together. It's all about motives. Jesus is our example of being pure in heart. He didn't have any selfish motives for what he did. There was no jealousy in him or selfish ambition in him. There was no greed in him. Pure in heart. I like what he said about one of his followers. In him, there is no guile. His spirit is pure. It's clean. So we must examine our motives and be sure our motives are right. Repent when we've got impure motives. Because if your motives are self-centered, you won't see God in the middle of what it is you're pursuing. And once you give yourself to the Lord, then it's no longer about you. It's always about him and his glory. Amen? If you want to see the power of God in your life, get your heart where it needs to be. Happiness depends on having right motives. If I want God to move in my life, make sure your motive, right? Seven, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Every one of us is called to be a peacemaker, a reconciler, to get people who are estranged from God back with God in right relationship. You can't call yourself a child of God if all you do is participate in stirring strife and division and discord among the brethren. There's some things God hates.
See, God hates?
Yep.
Proverbs 6 will tell you a few of them. One of the things he hates is when people shed the blood of the innocent. If you think God's pleased with us, he's not, because we've done that. and are still doing it. And God is not pleased. In fact, he hates it when someone starts sowing discord in the body of Christ. He said, I hate it. I don't want to be in the position to be the target of God's anger and frustration because I choose to just do whatever I feel like doing. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I need to start behaving like one. Peacemakers are called children of God. We are called to be peacemakers. Say, I'm a peacemaker. And if you've caused someone harm, Jesus said, don't bother to bring that offering to me until you've taken care of reconciling with that person. We're to be peacemakers. When there's conflict, you go calm down that individual and get that person to go settle their differences and help become a peacemaker. God says when you do that, you're reflective of my child. When you're at work and there's struggle and there's strife going on, don't pour fuel onto that fire. Don't agree against someone as an accuser without knowing the facts yourself instead of having secondhand information. Realize God called us to be peacemakers. It's all about restoring love in relationships where love has been misplaced. It's all about bringing peace where there's been turmoil and unrest. To be a peacemaker, first of all, you've got to be at peace within yourself, having peace with God. Amen? To be a peacemaker, you need to know who you are in Christ. Happy are the peacemakers. And Jesus calls every believer to be repairers of the breach and restorers of the path. That's our job in this culture, to help bring people to right relationship with the Father. It's not always possible to bring peace into a situation. Some people will not allow you to bring peace. Some people want to hold on to their offense, and they will stay with it and hold on to it, but you just make the effort. You act in the way Jesus would act. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, calls us to become peacemakers like he is. And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Think about that in this culture. And think about what Jesus is saying in this statement. Anytime you sell out for the Lord, people will talk about you. Tyrants will try to silence you, shut the doors and keep you from saying the things they don't want everybody in the culture to hear. Remember, you're surrounded by empty pleasures everywhere you look in this culture. And also remember why you began to become a follower of Jesus to begin with. And remember, a new world is coming. And we're standing on the precipice of it. And do not forget the prize. And remember the promise. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who came before you. Jesus is returning. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but this is buried deep down inside the core of my walk with Jesus. Nothing can compare than having remained faithful to Christ and his church and loyal to him and his people throughout the years of serving him. There is nothing that's going to compare to that moment when he can look in your spirit and know you've been a good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Anytime you go all the way out for God, people will look at you like, they'll call you a little crazy. They'll call you a Bible thumper. They will call you a fanatic. They will say, you're really going over there, that Calvary Christian Center? That's a bunch of holy rollers over there. Is that where you want to go to church? Right? You know, you're going to CCC. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for the gospel's sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And make no excuse for your loyalty, because Jesus puts high value on loyalty. Be loyal and serve where God has planted you, or you will not grow and neither will the church grow when you're not a loyal party to that church. Because all of us are called to serve. All of us are ministers, not all of us are pastors. But all of us are ministers and are called to serve in the kingdom of God. And everyone should be making contribution and serving loyally, faithfully, one with the other. Because if you don't do that, you're stunting your growth and stunting the growth of those around you. Now, I know that'll get right on your toe tips, but that's exactly where it needs to be. This is the place where you are fed. This is the place where you worship, right? Jesus said, "You are blessed people when you come out and you serve me and you honor me and put me first." But they'll come out against you because of your faith and come out against you because of the message you carry. If you're on the job and people plot against you, consider yourself blessed. Rejoice and be happy when people persecute you because of the gospel, because your reward is great before Jesus' throne. Amen? If you're being persecuted, you're on the right track. You're sailing in the right direction, because if you aren't being persecuted, you're not making any waves anywhere, but people will persecute you when you are on the right path. And for the students, don't allow peer pressure to make you bow. Know God's word, stand on it, believe it, even when you feel shaky about it and they question whether that's accurate or not, stand on God's word anyway. People will attack you personally, and if you don't compromise when you're pressured, great will be your reward in heaven. You remember the three Hebrew boys, persecuted, challenged to bow, because they would not bow to any god but the God of Israel, the God we're serving today. And now they're threatened by the most powerful king on the planet. But because they would not bow, not only did they not burn, they were promoted in the kingdom of that wicked king because they refused to bow before that king and said, "We bow before no one but Jesus." Amen? Amen. Happy are those who are falsely accused for the gospel's sake. Your reward shall be great. Thank you, Lord. We're not doing this for no reason. We're serving you, Master, with joy, loving you back because you first loved us. And not only do we have the exchange of that relationship, having been loved, I love. But then I get rewarded too. Not just with his love of forgiveness and cleansing and right standing and relationship, but great is your reward in my kingdom. Because Jesus always rewards faithfulness. Always. Blessed are you when people criticize you for the sake of the gospel. Your reward shall be great. For many, it's been a brutal year. Some who have had to bury a loved one couldn't even have a normal or proper style service for them because of restrictions and impositions. Some who've had loved ones have to go to the hospital, couldn't even go in and visit with them, spend a few moments with them. It's been tough. It's been difficult at times. We've got people in the kingdom of God on one end of the spectrum who think everything that's being said is fully and completely nothing but a conspiracy. And in some cases, there's some factual information related to that. Because out of Belgium now has come the newly invented chip that they can place under the skin of your right hand. And then keep your health data on it so you don't have to worry about a card or up to date whether you're vaxxed or not. They can just scan you. If you don't think that's a precursor, to the mark of the beast, you're not reading the Bible I am. Okay? Then you've got other people on the other end of the spectrum who they buried themselves inside their home and haven't been out since, practically. But at least they tell us that about church. But every once in a while, I bump into one of them at the grocery store. It's interesting how they get out for some things, but other things they don't quite get out for. And then you got everything in between. And so no matter where we go, there's somebody, I don't like that. That's not right. You can't. You're never going to be happy coming out of the old year into the new year if the attitude is not proper, alignment with the Lord. If you have improper attitudes, you're going to get crossways with people and sometimes even with God. But you will be blessed. I don't know about you, I want to be blessed. And I want to live happily if we take on the attitudes that Jesus portrayed. And then he taught his disciples, these are the attitudes I want you to live out in the culture we're living in today. So, whom have I been preaching to about attitudes today? Probably all of us, if we're honest, right? How about an attitude adjustment for a few minutes and the fruit of the Holy Spirit to start once again rising to the top on the branches of our lives? Let's stand together and let's honor God and thank him for the privilege we have of being here together. Let's praise him. Let's bless him and thank him for the opportunity we have to be in his house and gather around his word. Let's hold steady for just a few moments if we can, because our eyes are closed, whether you're at home or you're here in the room. And take a few moments for the respect of the presence of the Holy Spirit to be reminded that he's always trying to do a work of bringing someone else to Jesus. If you happen to be in the room or at home, and you've walked a weary life over the last months, burdened, broken, disjointed, alone, feeling isolated, traumatized, and confused. And you haven't laid your sins and your failures and your attitudes at the feet of Jesus. This is the moment to do it. Let's end this year. Start the new year fresh. If you need Jesus to do what he came to do, to be your Savior, your substitute, if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, having confessed with your mouth that he is the Christ, you'll be saved. Does anybody here need a Savior today? Because we all do. It's just a matter of when we decide to admit our need. If you need him, lift your hand. Eyes are closed. No one's paying attention to you, but God is paying close attention to you. And get that hand heavenward and say, I'm ready to make a new life today. I need a new start, a new beginning, anywhere in the room. If you're at home, would you do this with us right now? Pray aloud with us. And let's pray together, even in the room as well as at home. Say, Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. I know according to your word, I need a new heart. I need you to transplant the old with the new. Forgive my sins. Wash me. Clean me. I want to be right with you. I want a new life. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Yeah, if you've made that prayer your own, please connect with us as rapidly as possible. You can email us. You can call us. You can connect with us after service. We'll take a moment with you. In the meantime, I think all of us would take a good word of wisdom here and ask God to wash away some of the garbage that we've accumulated in baggage over the last 12 months. Say, Lord, let this week become a week of new beginning for me, my life. I want to walk with you in the beauty of your word. So let's worship him. Pastor Michael's going to lead us in a chorus or so. And let's ask God to cleanse us from the garbage. And thank you for watching today. We appreciate it.
May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. God bless you in this new year.